I think I had a very high expectation of what this trip will be. And I took my journal with me, and I was hoping that every day I would be writing and praying and reading, but it wasn't like that. The trip was nice, but it was so many people everywhere. On every place that they're supposed to, something happened, and there was a church already built there, and it took a bit from the atmosphere, but it was really nice and it was interesting, and we had amazing guide who was telling us all the details. The past you kind of know, because if you read Bible you know them, but the things that are happening nowadays and how they are connected with the past, they were interesting. And the time was passing, and because it was so many things to see, we were just going from one place to another, so we were just so exhausted, because we were waking up like 4 or 5 a.m. To be at the places where we're supposed to be. And so there was no journaling and and no of this special moments for me until we went to the place where supposed to be the Sermon on the Mount. And we went there, and over there it was very busy, and you have all the verses written on the stones where you were walking in the park. It's a beautiful, beautiful place and beautiful church. And I didn't have the spiritual or like a moment over there, as I call it. But then we went down to the Sea of Galilee. And at the Sea of Galilee, suddenly it got very quiet. We were the only group over there. And we went like, we tip our toes in the water, and we were just by ourselves. And suddenly all the places that we visited and everything what we had, they kind of came alive. And I actually realized where I am and had the time to absorb what I saw and what I experienced. And I was imagining Jesus sitting on a mountain and saying his sermon on the mount, feeding the 4,000 and 5,000, casting the demons into the swines, and being on the boat and calming the waters. Everything suddenly came alive only because I had a time of being still. I had a time of quietness. And of all the places, that still is the most favorite place, because of just how calm the water was and this place of rest that you have a time to recuperate. And that made me think that, what is Sabbath for me? And how was I maybe raised as an Adventist, how I saw the Sabbath and how Sabbath should be? And I thought that, because of Sabbath, we have the time to be still, the time to be in rest. And in the culture of now, in the culture of not being able to afford a time off, God wants us to set aside a time and say, be still and rest. And if you all open your Bibles with me, I fell in love with the commandments once more when I was reading and preparing this sermon, because I just find it fascinating, the beauty of Sabbath and how it all got created. And when we open the Exodus chapter 20, and we have our 10 commandments, we have to, in order to understand Sabbath and the fourth commandment, we need to go back to the beginning to understand where God comes from. Why we have another commandment before this commandment? And we read in verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. When Israelites, they were in Egypt, they were just forced to work more. they didn't have any laws that would protect them, any laws that would shorten the day of work. They had a god who demandless, endless, produce an endless system of production. And the pharaoh who wanted to show how mighty he is and how mighty his gods are, he demanded more and more. Because if they had more, if the prosperity was in the country, that showed that their gods are the gods to be worshipped. And the Jews, they're just working so hard. There's no day of rest. There's this demanding of more. Doesn't matter if you sacrifice your health, your life. The gods, they want more. Because they were gods of commodity. And the glory of Pharaoh was rising high because the new things were appearing and mighty things. And that was reflecting the splendor and mighty of his gods. But that was a helpless system, a system of production, a system that no person was as a value. And now comes a God who reminds them that I am the God of Exodus. I took you from there. And then while I was reading that, I remind myself where God took me from. My God of Exodus, where was I before he came and I truly understood who he is from me? Where was my point of Exodus? Where was the moment in my life that I reminded myself who God is or get to know him? This is not a God of endless, tiresome productivity. This is the God who comes to you and say, stop. This was the God who was not afraid to say, I need you to rest. This was the God who said, I don't need anything from you. But how? How can I comprehend a God who doesn't want anything from me? How can I comprehend a love that doesn't need anything from me? How can I comprehend a grace, which is a true grace? So I can't comprehend that. So I think that I need to make something for him. I think that maybe if I have image of him, or maybe if I made something that will show that I really love him, that he's my God. So because I want to be thankful to him for what he done for me, I have to make something for him to remind me. And then God comes again and say, no, I don't want anything from you. I don't want anything that you can make to prove your love to me. Because by doing that, you need to work more. You need to earn money. You need to sacrifice your time to make an image of me. Then you're going to sacrifice. And one image will never be enough, because the mightier the image will be, the mightier the remembrance of me will be, the mightier your God will be for you. But this is not what I want from you. So don't do it. Because in order for you to do that, that means that I am God, like the gods of Egypt. That I want something from you to prove how mighty I am. But I don't need to prove to anyone how mighty I am. But because I said all that to you, it doesn't mean that I am a low kind of God, that I am a God that you can call the name and say whatever. No, I am a mighty God. Don't underestimate me. I am the God who took you from a place you thought you will never leave, from the place that you curse, because you call it a home. But it wasn't your home, because you couldn't even imagine what your home could be. And now I am taking you to this place where will be your home. And now again I thought about myself. Am I imagining the place where God is taking me? Or am I living here and thinking, that's it, you know, I settle, that's all what God can achieve with me? But God said, no, I am a God of exodus. That means that this is not it. We are still on the journey. We are still traveling. And then we come to Sabbath. Because he's a different kind of God. He's the God who wants you to stop for one day. Stop chasing. For one day, enjoy your family. For one day, enjoy the nature. For one day, enjoy him truly. And we are always tempted to not do it because we are greedy people, aren't we? We are greedy. How difficult it is to switch off your brain and not to think of things that you need to do after the Sabbath finishes. We make plans in our mind. Even though if we don't do it, we make it in our brain because what will happen on Sunday, what Monday, what I need to think about work. We can't stop it. Because if we are afraid of stopping, we are afraid of slowing down. When I was studying theology at Newport, we had this class called spirituality, and we were reading this book about discipline and different form of worshiping God. And one chapter was about fasting, and we all had to try it because there were some people who never fasted. And it wasn't only from the food, it was from the things that occupied your mind. So we were fasting, we were like 24 hours fasting from TV, radio, checking emails, even if you could, anything that occupied your mind and you thought like, that's your problem. So we did that. We did, we'll make it just easier, we did it like from lunch to lunch. I think it's kind of easier like that. And I remember the first evening, my husband was still at work. He was coming from London, so he would come around 8 o'clock. And I was alone at home. And suddenly, it just got so quiet. I could hear my thoughts. And I was scared of them because I didn't want to hear them. There was this time that actually I had time to reflect. And I don't know, but they started bombarding me, my thoughts. And I was scared. I was like, I'm in a good place. Like, what's happening? And I took Bible and I started reading. And I had started to have the peace in my heart and in my mind again. But for me, it was a shocking experience to say that I wasn't comfortable with myself. Because I'm always allowing myself to be busy, to be greedy with my thoughts, to be greedy with my time in the sense that I can't afford to have a free time. And this God, he comes and he say, stop. Stop being greedy. Let me take care of few things in your life. It's like Sabbath. For me, it's like the meeting for greedy anonymous, you know? We all come here and we say, okay, we need to stop and we need to reflect about our life. And we know that we all have problems, so we are all together to support each other for this one day just to stop and to relax and maybe prioritize. Because we always are running for something for more. And that's not only was the problem then. Then we read further that what the prophets had to remind the Israelites again, and they say, stop sacrificing. Stop doing these things because you don't understand what I want from you. I just want you to love me, to pay attention to me. Because then you will truly understand what I want from you. And then Jesus had to come again and again remind them what was Sabbath all about. Stop focusing on what you can do or not. Just stop and be still, and I will tell you what to do. just hear me, because you can't even hear me at the moment. Then Martin Luther, he had to remind people again, it's like, it's not about what you can buy, it's not what you can do, you don't deserve God's love, but he gives you anyway. It's not that if you work more, you can pay more, and then you can be redeemed. No, because our God is not a God of money and power. It's a God actually to tell you to stop. But nowadays, we live in a time that we believe that products would make us safe or simply acceptable. We had a teens meeting yesterday, and the teens were talking about brands, of what they can wear or what brands can go together and what shouldn't, and how always you should have something branded on you, because then you would be judged as well. So the pressure is already there. So we can see that always new technology make old possession inadequate, in an incomplete. So we need to buy a new gadget, a new things that will help us. Always changing fashion makes the old clothes ridiculed. And we cannot satisfy our gods of commodity, because they always want more. They always need a change. And we see the consequences of that everywhere. We see the consequences of that in nature. The way we use plastic, the way we use fashion. We don't wear clothes until they are old. We use until something new comes, or we fancy something new. There are those small things that we still have a problem with them today, but we had them in commandment that God says, stop and rethink and prioritize your life. What is really important for you? Because our God, he wants to have relationship with us. And he wants to have relationship with anyone who is seeking for him. And now reading the rest of the commandment, they really make sense. Because then they say, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't go against your neighbor, and don't covet. So that's, don't want what your neighbor wants, what your neighbor has. Because if we are less greedy, then we don't do those things. If we're okay with what we have, we will keep the other commandment. But we need this day of stillness. We need this day. Then we say, just relax. Stop wanting more for a second. Stop planning. Stop having other gods. Stop being greedy. And God say, I give you Sabbath. A resistance to commodity. By wanting more, we are destroying ourselves. And we are destroying the earth. We are destroying the animals, which are disappearing. Because just of our greed. Because we want more, there are people who can give us more. But because they can give us more, they become greedy as well. And they use the earth like a bin. But they can only do that because of us. Because of our greed. Because of us not keeping the Sabbath. The time to say, maybe I don't need as much as I think I do. Maybe there is a time that I need with my family more. Maybe there is a time that we can do something for someone else than just us. And there's this beautiful Psalm 73, if you can open with me. And the author of the psalm, he's jealous of what wicked people have it. So we read at the beginning, and he's praising the God, and then he said in verse 3, "For I was envious of the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pain, their bodies are sound and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are." So even though, you know, they don't have the same values as I do, they don't even have one day off, you know, to reset and just have a break, and they just prosper and they have money and it's just easier for them. And this author is saying, like, I wanted to have the same. I wanted to be with them. And he writes that until we come to verse 70, and he says, "I wanted to have and be like them until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived the end." Until we allow God in our life, until then, our eyes are closed, our minds are closed, and we don't see the bigger picture. We don't see the benefit of Sabbath. Until he went to sanctuary of God, until we fully give ourselves to him and we say, help me to be still, help me to be happy with what I have, help me to be happy with my family, that I won't be upset with them or they don't irritate me. Help me not to be jealous of what other people have. Help me to be nice to my parents, whatever the past we had together. Help me to be truthful. And then in the verse 25, he says this, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire other than you." He realized that there is nothing as valuable as what is to come, to have a relationship with God. He reminded himself about the God, a powerful God, the God of Exodus, who at one point took you from the place where you weren't comfortable, took you from the place where there was no hope, took you from the place that you needed him. And he reminds you again, remember of that day, because I am the same God and I want to have the same relationship with you, not only when you need me. And I know that during the week you will be busy. You might not have as much time for me. But if you have a one day for me, one day for your family, one day to stop and rethink, I will bless you. The Sabbath, it's a time where our greed is exposed, our desires, our gods, and we need to tell them stop. And when we expose ourselves to God, like that, we become very vulnerable because we see how weak we are. And we see that without God, we can make such a bad decisions in our life. But then in verse 23, it says like that, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand." Maybe you don't spend as much time with God during the week as you're supposed to, as I'm supposed to. Maybe we don't do that. But God wants us to hold his hand. Hold hands like your life depends on it. Hold his hand and he will give you the peace and he will help you to be still. Because Sabbath is a reminder of what kind of relationship we will have with our God in heaven and what kind of relationship we can have with him here. Amen.